Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sis Internet Radio. Sisters in Spirit, affectionately called Sis, is a nurturing environment for women that inspires harmony in everyday living, shares resources that empower, offers information and support that nourishes the soul, balances our mental and physical well-being, and promotes inner peace and heightened spirituality. Our vision is a world where women live consciously, harmoniously, and spiritually to positively impact our lives and the lives of those with whom we come into contact. Join us as we live life with style, grace, and of course, much joy.
Greetings all, and welcome again to Sis Internet Radio. I am your host, Raisa, and I'm here with my co-host, Sky. Sky, good evening.
Good evening, Raisa. How are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful, and you?
Oh, I'm just highly favored and truly blessed today.
And our topic for tonight is getting grounded and tapping into higher frequencies. And today we're here with our guest, Christmas Miller. She is a professional psychic medium, and she believes that there is divine synchronicity and a reason for everything that happens. For instance, your tuning into this show is an example of how synchronicity is always at play, even on a subtle, unconscious level. Her ability to read energy allows her to be an interpreter to us, for those who have crossed over, as well as to access information from our past, present, and the potential future. She's able to do this by tuning into a higher frequency of energy, by raising her vibrations, which enables her to sense, see, and hear. And she's been aware of this ability for as far back as she can remember, and even as a child, she knew that she had this ability. Her mission is to empower, motivate, and inspire, and to help others to continue to evolve by offering insight and clarity to their underlying issues. Tonight, we invite you to speak with and commune with our guest, Christmas Miller. Christmas, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Raisa. I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you to Sky for having me.
Yes, welcome. We are so happy to have you with us this evening.
Well, I'm excited. I'm so excited because this whole topic that you guys have been discussing throughout your shows, and I love your show, by the way, it's really empowering, very much so. People need to understand more of the responsibility and accountability side that they really truly have. It's one thing to look at responsibility from a standpoint of, oh, well, you know, I don't want to deal with something that's unpleasant, because we tend to think of the word responsibility as a burden, as something we have to do. But it's more so from the standpoint when I refer to the word as be responsible in the sense of bringing into your experience what you want to have happen, not what you have to deal with. And so we can all truly start mapping and scoping out the life we really want. It takes work, because we always have to work on the not-so-nice sides of ourselves, but with understanding and clarity that we indeed have the power to do so, it changed the whole perception of what you really can have in your life.
Yeah, and we always say focus on what you want, not what you don't want.
Absolutely. A lot of people is in the this is how it is state of mind. And when you're in that space, it's hard to see past tomorrow, let alone that moment. And so in the work that I do as a psychic, it's really important, I feel, in my role of responsibility to empower people with understanding that, hey, at the end of the day,
hello? Are you guys still there?
I'm here. I think we might have dropped Christmas. Let's see if she can dial back in.
Hello?
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 Okay.
Are you back on the line? Hello?
Okay, we're back on the air, and we're back on the line.
Hi there. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I think we dropped you for a moment, but everything's fine now, Christmas.
Okay, good. I don't know where we got dropped off. but what I wanted to pick up and say, which is important, especially for people who don't understand about people like myself who do the kind of work that I do. As a psychic, I feel in my role I'm responsible for reminding individuals of their responsibility of their life in terms of creating it the way they want. All a good psychic does, and I view this from my opinion, is if you're a good psychic, you are able to read the energy of what's going on in a person's life. You can look at what they've done, you can look at where they are, and you can look at where it is going. That's where the prediction side comes in. But here's the very fragile part about that. If you are going to remind someone of where they are in their life, you can definitely help empower them to shift their actions and their energies in a positive way that can alter a path that they're on and move them in a proper, healthier, happier direction. And I believe that's the responsibility of my work as a psychic with helping individuals, reminding them of the power that they have to create their future. So being grounded is a big part of that. You have to not be scattered, and you can't be all over the place like we all tend to do when we're stressed out and upset and fearful. And so your show topic is really important, especially in this day and time.
So you do this through tapping into higher frequencies. Can you tell us more about what that means to tap into a higher frequency?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm not going to get into all of the esoteric terms because let me just kind of lay a little bit of the background here. For me, coming from a very Southern Baptist background, I didn't understand what all those terms meant, you know, medium and all of that. I wasn't raised in that type of environment. So I knew I had some special abilities, but I just didn't know the technical terms for them until I became an adult. But when you hear somebody talk about tapping into a higher frequency, we're all operating on a frequency. Science will talk about this. Quantum physics will talk about all of that. But in layman's terms, for somebody like myself, what I'm actually doing is raising my vibrations where I'm able to sense more. People who are very psychically sensitive are already operating on a faster frequency, enabling them to perceive the inobvious things or the things that people typically don't notice. And it's not a particular thing. It can be a feeling. When you're sensitive enough, you're able to pick up on that vibration. It's just like dogs. You know, when there's a sound that we don't typically notice, they'll become alert, and they'll notice something that you don't see. You'll see them react in a way because they are picking up that vibration. And so it's kind of similar in that sense with someone who's very psychically sensitive because it comes in a variety of ways. For me, I become sensitive enough where I start seeing visual images of information, and that frequency oftentimes reveal itself as like a movie playing. Sometimes it's not necessarily a visual like a movie per se, but sometimes it's just little flashes of images. When I'm in that space where I'm sensitive and I'm picking up other frequencies, it can be audible. It's not always visual. It can be audible. So basically it means that you're sensitive enough to be able to perceive what is not obvious. And the interesting thing about the word instinct, you know, it's defined as a natural impulse or capacity to pick up what isn't always obvious. It's something that's natural to us. But when we talk about psychics, everybody, ooh, that's all, you know, scary. And being psychic and intuitive is the most natural thing that we human beings have. There are some of us just more sensitive than others. So myself, I'm able to do this, and it's always been a natural thing for me. It has come second nature. And I realized that, you know, it's something I'm to use for something positive and good. Now, we all have choices, as we know, and everybody who has an occupation or a job or something that they do, they have a choice to do something good with it, or they have a choice to be selfish and do something negative with it. And I choose to do something positive. So I really love the work in the way that I am able to help bring some of the not so obvious things to people's awareness so they can make the decisions for themselves.
So when did you realize that this was something that you could use as your life's work to help others versus, you know, doing some other job on the side as your main job and then you're doing this in the background to help people? When did you realize that your passion, your skill, ability could actually sustain you?
When I was very hesitant, I'll tell you that, because there are a lot of people walking around like me who just, you know, they had similar backgrounds, the way they were raised, their religion, their faith, their family, all kinds of other reasons. And there are a lot of people, I talk to so many people all the time who just, you know, they feel a little comfortable because they've had similar backgrounds and they just don't feel that they're ready to come out and explain or tell people they have these experiences and whatnot. But for me, I was fortunate. My grandmother was like my angel with all of this. She was also very psychic and intuitive, but she never used that word. She was a very devout Christian woman, and she had the ability to prophesy and heal people and just was a generous, giving soul. I mean, she was an example for me of someone walking the talk in the truest sense of helping your fellow man. And so I had that assistance coming up as a young girl. But I would say the most profound experience was in my adult years. Not too long ago, I had become involved, not by my own inclination to do this, but I had at the time been opening up more on the mediumship side. I actually started out that way, you know, with the dead people, so to speak. And I never really enjoyed that. But it is something that I do. And when you're psychic and intuitive, you're just, you know, not one side versus the other. And that's another thing I want to inject really quickly before I finish answering that question so I can clarify other people's minds about this. When you are psychic and open to energy, when you are sensitive, period, you just don't have access to dead people. I mean, it's a lot for people to wrap their minds around this concept now. We have research being done on the survival of the consciousness. We've had respected people writing books for years in their profession, Dr. Raymond Moody and other people, about this subject matter, the survival of the consciousness and our past lives and so forth. And so it's not really new news, but we have gotten to a point where we feel like it's just a one-sided deal. In my experience, and I'm sure others out here who have had it, I'm sure, it's not just about communicating with those who have crossed over. When you are sensitive to energy, period, you are sensitive to everything. And there is other forms of intelligence out here, and that's a whole nother show.
Right.
But in this respect, you become open to everything. It's just not, you know, you just dial this notch and that's it. You open the door for everything. So for me, I got involved with a case, and I had never done this before in my life. And the young lady who had passed over had given me 3 pages of information. And my husband at the time was, you know, very linear in his thought. He was, you know, law school student-minded person, very empirical in his thinking. And he was, you know, like, don't get involved. And but I felt compelled. The young lady who had passed over kept giving me information and telling me who to give it to. The thing that really moved me was the fact that she gave me the name of the investigator. I'll just say his name was Investigator Larry. That's how she told me. And she directed me to where I needed to find him, which at the time on national television, everybody was, you know, referring to the FBI and all of these people you need to call if you had any information. Well, she directed me to the D.C. police, and that's where I called. And after several screenings of the phone and feeling like somebody was going to show up at my door moments later, the sergeant finally gave me the name of the investigator, and his name was Larry, and he gave me his last name and his direct line. And he was one of 2 investigators that had been working on the case that they had not given the information about. So after that, you know, I knew I couldn't just sit on this anymore, mm-hmm. that I had to do something with it.
So along those lines, Christmas, we have a guest in the chat room, and she asked a question. I would like to read auras and healing. What would you suggest, or where would I start? And it sounds like you're saying that this is a natural gift. Is that where this should stem from, being a natural ability? I'm not sure if this if our listener in the chat room has any types of natural abilities, but she just asked this question. It's a little early, but you're kind of in this area right now.
Oh, yeah, sure. What I can tell you, as far as doing this particular type of work, and specifically, if I understand the question, she wants to read auras. And what was the other thing she wants to do?
And it looks like heal and heal them. Yes, and heal
okay.
them.
Healing is a wonderful occupation. Reading auras is something that I have never done. Let me just say that. So I'm going to speak from my experience. I have heard other people doing that. But what I have seen is colors that were very symbolic to certain things for me. For example, for the listener out there, you may naturally start off with the intentions of reading auras and start to learn about what the colors mean, which is tons of information out there on that, or classes by reputable people. Let me underline the word reputable. You know, you want to find a group or someone who has a track record and they're professional and that you can trust with this type of stuff, because there's a lot of quacks and crazies out there. But you may start off reading and learning about the information, but here's the thing of what I know about how your natural abilities work. It's not cookie cutter. It is not cookie cutter for everybody. And so you may start off seeing images of something that is not typical of what people describe as aura reading. There's people like Sylvia Brown. I'm sure you've heard of her. She has a completely different view about auras. She thinks that people probably have vision problems. You know, I don't agree. However, I do know for myself that when I see colors around people, it's very symbolic of certain things. So for the listener, it will just be a culmination of as you go along and heighten your spiritual awareness and knowledge and understanding, and as you open yourself up to the universe's spirit in your meditations, in your studies, and you make yourself available literally in that sense, mentally and emotionally, you'll start noticing how your ability to interpret and discern information might be slightly different. I might see a red car and it might mean, you know, somebody's driving too fast, and somebody else it could mean they're going to buy a car. So it's going to vary per person, and over time you'll start understanding how that works for you. But yes, Raisa, it is definitely an individual, unique thing. And the healing aspect, I do want to say we need more healers on this planet, whether it is from a traditional route, going to school, med school, or whatever, to the holistic approach, to people in the line of work that I do. You cannot have enough healers. It's just, I can't say enough about that. And this listener has
Amethyst.
That natural.
Her name is Amethyst Christmas.
Amethyst. Okay.
Yes,
Amethyst.
I didn't mention it earlier, but her name is Amethyst.
You have a natural ability to heal, and it would likely be, and I'm not saying you have to go this route, but you'll discover that you are strongest and proficient in your speech. So counseling would be excellent for you. And you like to talk anyway. You might want to just, you know, utilize
hey.
That ability quite well. and so, you know, there's a way of healing, counseling. That's another aspect of delivering that. So it varies per individual. Everybody's different.
So, you know, we're talking about it varies by individual, but at the essence, everyone does have this ability, yes, to wish in and to foresee events.
I feel that there are some people that are more seasoned and proficient. It's just like basketball. You know, you can have people who train and practice and they can get very good, and then there are some who just seem to be naturally a little bit ahead of the pack. And I personally feel that that is partly due to the previous lifetimes we've had in that line of work and practicing that level of specialty. That's my personal belief. And so there are some who, you know, they have that, but they're still in the early stages of their development. And then there are those who have it very strongly. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. That's how I was in my early, you know, 20s and teens. I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. I just want to live, have fun. And that's what I did until the work kept calling me back. But, yes, we all have it.
And we use the analogy in our blog that it's like a muscle. You go out to the gym, you work to make your muscle stronger, and your ability to intuit is like that muscle. You have to work to make it stronger.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And the thing about discernment is when I use that reference, or I guess you could look at it from the spiritual perspective since this is the forum, spiritual discernment is being able to perceive with your sixth sense, that which we call our gut, our intuition. we can always intellectually discern something. But when we're talking about it in this context, we're talking about spiritual discernment. We're talking about trusting what you are instinctually feeling so strongly about. And that's the problem with most of us. We do not listen to that inner guidance. We tend to second guess it, or in some cases we don't want to hear the truth of what we're being told, and we tend to go the opposite direction.
And sometimes you just don't acknowledge that your intuition, it's your intuition, and you think it might just be a thought. So what's the difference between knowing your intuition and knowing your mind?
That's an excellent question. With the mind, the ego, it's usually going to always be from a fear-based mentality, a control type of feeling. The instinct is always subtle and soft and constant. Your mind is going to change, just like your moods. It will change one minute to the next, and most often you will feel sort of incapacitated or unsure, fearful, or there's some type of emotion attached to that. With your instinct, it's subtle and it's constant, and it's really oftentimes, in my opinion, detached emotionally, because you can be having an idea about something, and then your instinct is completely opposite, totally separate, but that instinct is going to constantly be in the background, kind of warning you or even encouraging you. It never changes. It never shifts. It's constant, and that's the difference you can tell. And most times when you ask people when they've had a situation where their instincts were doing that, and they'll say, oh, my God, my instincts told me that, or my gut kept telling me that, or I had that feeling, and I wish I would have listened. And we all know what it is, whether we call it gut or instinct. It's that constant, subtle, it won't go away feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't usually listen to it, unfortunately.
Yeah, but, and it, you mentioned a very important point there, dealing with fear. And when you deal with fear, that's more than likely, or it is typically coming from the ego.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because when you're dealing with your in-tune spiritual self, which is connected to Source, God, there is no fear. There is none. It's just like apples and oranges. There is no fear. Typically, the ego, because we've become conditioned and, you know, repetition, learned behavior, and just repeated the same old stuff, we tend to operate in that mode. We are in a physical world. We are physical beings, and we look around and we experience a lot of the physical stuff. But at the same token, the stuff that we experience on the physical level is usually a manifestation, secondary, of what's happening on the spiritual level. So when we start talking about unconscious, subconscious, that's dealing with some serious spiritual stuff, because usually we are operating in a manifestation stage, and it materializes in the physical, and then we're going, how did this happen to me? What did I do to deserve it? But oftentimes we're operating in a mode. It's just like if you go to bed and you don't lock your doors and you live in an area that may be high risk and you're constantly worried about somebody robbing you, but then you don't lock your door and then it happens. You go, well, I didn't deserve to be robbed. Why would somebody do this? I'm a good person. I do this. But on a subconscious level, you're attracting all of those energies, and you were even acting it out by not even locking the door. Mm-hmm. And I'm just giving you just a little bit of an example of how we tend to not be aware of how we're feeling deeply, entrenchedly, on a subconscious level that we acted out on a physical level.
And so we drew that energy to us because that's the energy that we were giving off. So that's all we could get was that.
Absolutely. It's the same thing with picking a mate. You know you want somebody good. On the surface, we all say, well, of course we want a good man, or we want a good woman, somebody who's going to appreciate us. But then we may be fearful that, you know, maybe I'm getting too old now, or I have too many children, or, you know, maybe I'm just too smart, because statistics say that, you know, most of us women, we're, you know, graduating and we're getting all the degrees, and maybe I'm not going to find somebody who's my equal. But then we're feeling this strongly. But then we go out, and then we attract, and then sometimes openly choose to settle for something that we know we just really don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tend to do things on a subconscious level. So being grounded is all about being clear, first of all. It is about not being scattered. It is about being focused and aligned with who you are, what you deserve, and acting it out on a conscious and an unconscious level. And when you are aligned and you know who you are, you tend to keep that unconsciousness in check.
Yeah.
And so when you make decisions, you want to make it from a grounded place.
That's exactly what I was going to say. From that place, you want to tune in and tap into the higher frequencies.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
The issue, though, and I'll say this personally, is being grounded when you have so many different things going on. It's taking you in like a million different places or a million different directions at one time. And I'm sure probably a lot of listeners can relate to that because we basically live very busy lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of difficult to, for me personally, to really stay grounded. I'll get there and I'll be there for a while, but then, you know, all these other things will pop up that, you know, kind of just pull my attention into so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So
I can relate to that, too. I'm a single mother of five, and I
do
this all day. So I can totally understand, and I can tell you there is not, it ain't like I got this down like science either. So when I speak about it from the understanding and the perspective of knowing that it's a challenge. You know, it's not a feel-good talk, because a lot of times it's hard to relate to people, but trust me, I can relate to a lot of people, and most times they don't even know that I could relate to them in that way. And so I do get that, and the whole objective is to strive toward this. This is something that is always a work in motion. And in my book, Illuminations, A Road Less Traveled, A Modern-Day Seer's Journal of the Human Experience, there is a chapter, a very brief chapter, that just hits straight to the point about mistakes and contrast, that there's a purpose. And most of the time when people call someone like me, they don't want to make a mistake. But that's the whole point of being here. We're going to make some. I don't know any psychic on the planet that's going to keep you from learning what you got to learn. I mean, it just don't work that way. It would be nice in an ideal world. But we're going to all make mistakes. And the beauty about learning how to discern and to trust our instincts and even having support systems, because, frankly, I look at myself as being a support system. I'm not somebody to run somebody's life. Believe me, I got five other ones I'm trying to help at home all day. But it's one of those things that I believe I'm a support system for someone to help kind of refocus them, to remind them of their power, where they really are, and they do have options. And grounding yourself helps you kind of put yourself back in that place of, okay, maybe I fell off the turnip truck today, but I can get back on tomorrow. I can get back on tomorrow. And so it is always a work in motion. And frankly, Skye, I think you're doing a darn good job, actually.
So, you know, one of the triggers that I use is what you were talking about earlier is fear. When I find myself really fearful, then I could flag that and say, oops, so I'm totally not grounded and away from where I want to be. So, you know, my decision is to come back to center. Can't always do that, as you said, but it's a trigger so that I at least have the thought and I can get closer back to being grounded,
mm-hmm.
move forward from there.
Well, some examples of how that works, because, again, there's no cookie-cutter way. Some people think, when I use the term meditation, I didn't start off doing yoga classes and stuff like that, just as I didn't really do any classes and prep to be able to do what I do. For me, what I found is an active form of meditation because of the type of person I am, the way my energy is wired, my lifestyle and everything, because you have to consider all of those things. Everybody's different. You know, meditation to me is walking in a park. Being in nature is just so therapeutic, I cannot tell you. And I'm going to tell you something. It ain't a Southern thing because I'm a Southern girl. Being barefoot is a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Because putting your feet to the earth, it will pull a lot of that energy out of you if you're feeling overwhelmed, a lot of negative stuff you've collected. I mean, that's another way of grounding yourself. Meditation is another way. Just taking deep breaths and just nothing but quiet is another way.
Okay, we have a lot of callers on the line. Are we ready to start taking some questions or comments from our callers?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be happy to do that. I love that part.
Okay, callers, we invite you to press the number 1 to raise your hand if you'd like to ask our guest today, Christmas Miller, a question or make a comment. And while we're getting together on our phone line, we did have a comment and a question from our blog. And I'd like to share that with you.
Sure.
And this is coming from Carmelita. Carmelita is also in the chat room. She said, I look forward to hearing from you, Ms. Miller. And she was glad to see on your site that you stated absolutely that you believe in God.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There is a God. And the thing about understanding, about connecting to those frequencies, and we didn't get into that too much, the way I see it, there's two forms of frequencies. There's the highest level, which is that associated with divinity, with God, the purest level. That encompasses love, inclusiveness, protection, feeling healed, joy, happiness, all of those adjectives, really. And if you have a little taste of what that feels like, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And then there's the lowest level of that, those frequencies, which are working completely in the opposite direction of the highest divinity. And so, you know, when I kind of touched briefly upon there are so many different forms of energy and intelligence out there, that's what I was alluding to. But absolutely, I do believe, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, through and through, this is not something I was told about. This is something I experience every day, and I know. So, yes, I do believe.
Christmas?
Uh-huh.
How do you ensure that you're tapping into a higher frequency versus a lower one?
It feels completely opposite. When you're tapping into a higher frequency, there is nothing but a rush feeling of feeling for the highest and the best of yourself for others. You feel a connected collectiveness. How do I say that? Connected collectiveness. That's the best way I can describe it, because you begin to feel connected to all that there is. You are really your brother's keeper when you're in that space, because you can't be judgmental and angry and mad at somebody when you're in that space, because you feel connected to that person or that situation. You feel it personally. So when people say we are our brother's keeper, and really a lot of folks don't really understand that or mean it, it really means that how can you feel a certain way in a negative light and not experience what that's like on the receiving end? Because when you're connected from that way, from a collective connectedness, you feel that. So it is all a positive well-being for everyone involved. And on the negative side of that, it is the complete opposite. You feel everything that would be negative. And we've all got a taste of that when you're feeling angry, when you're feeling bitter, when you're feeling resentful, when you're feeling depressed and fearful. All of those are adjectives that fall under negative energy. And
right.
Energy doesn't discriminate, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. So you open up a channel for that energy to flow through you based on your thoughts.
Absolutely. And we have to be so careful about how we're operating. And I had somebody, you know, tweet me on the thing there the other day, and they were feeling kind of in a space, and I was like, okay, you know, you have a right to feel that way, but don't stay there too long.
Mm-hmm.
Because that energy, when we're operating in any form of negative energy, it will migrate and affect other parts of your life.
Okay, we have a caller that we're ready to bring in. We're going to call the last four digits of your phone number, and please introduce yourself and ask your question. We're going to caller 6002. Caller 6002, you're on the air. Welcome.
Please introduce yourself.
Walia.
Hi, Walia.
Well, I had the experience where people cringe at the word psychic, just like you said.
Yeah.
And then when you're raised as a Catholic, you know, the family opposes communication with the dead, premonition, and seeing the future. And even associates I was at a point where I was being, like, really psychic, and I was really into healing and seeing people's future. But it got to the point where a person that was important to me called me a witch. And I really respected this person. And so I began to suppress my abilities. I began to suppress my gifts. I didn't want anything to do with intuition, because I didn't want to be thought of as a witch. And I stopped reading the children. I stopped reading their futures. People used to bring me their children. And I became so disconnected, I felt so unprotected and lost that I didn't even see my daughter's future.
Right.
And it turned out really so tragic that at one point she asked me,
can you hear me?
Okay, we might.
Hello?
Okay, we might need to back away from the speaker.
What's that, Wally? Christmas, are you with us?
No, I think we dropped Christmas. She'll probably call back in.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so what we'd like to do now is go into the chat room and see if we have any additional questions or comments from the chat room. And we have, okay.
Hi.
Christmas, are you on the
yes,
line?
Yes, I'm there. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, thank you.
I don't know, I think, we got dropped there.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get to finish hearing her question.
Okay, Walia, did you want to ask your question?
Yes, my question is, so what book would you recommend that would enlighten other people about the other world that is not explored? Is there a certain book that you can recommend to people who have this fear of this psychic energy? Because a lot of people look at it as devil, you know, devil worship or whatever. But I'm sure there's a scientific way that people can relate to it, perhaps.
Well, there's a lot of scientific research and whatnot going on today, actually, depending upon which angle you're looking at it. For the side of it where they're looking at the survival of the consciousness, as I was mentioning earlier, where that is what happens to our consciousness after our body dies, what happens to us. And so there's been research on that for a while. Dr. Gary Schwartz has been doing that out of the University of, I think, Arizona. There's a lot of reputable doctors, Dr. Raymond Moody, Dr. Michael Newton has done case studies on regression in past lives. There's tons of books. Now, if you're talking about it just from a spiritual standpoint, there's so many different books. I'm trying to think of just one off the top of my head. I can tell you one book that I found very helpful to me, which was called Opening to Channel.
Oh, that's
Opening
great.
To Channel. And I think it's a really one-stop kind of shop book in a very simplistic way of helping understand and explaining this whole process. And you're right. I mean, different religions and different cultures and different backgrounds are going to have varying views on a lot of things. I mean, in some parts of the world, this is totally okay and it's everyday norm. You know, so it just really depends on how you're brought up and how you're raised. But I want to address something you mentioned earlier about how you felt so disconnected and detached when people was referring to you in that way. I got to tell you this. This is the first thing. When you're dealing with this type of work or just in general, this is something that I coach my regular clients too, because it's not always just about the psychic side of this. This is about also healing and working through our stuff. When you really are feeling good about who you are and you're connecting and understanding who you are and you are living authentically as you are, then you have a sense of assuredness about who you are. So it doesn't matter what somebody is going to say, because somebody's going to always say something or put a tag or a label on you. But you knew, and you know that you were not operating in any malignant way in the work that you were doing. Were you not?
Absolutely. Oh, it was obvious that it was jealousy.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of other things, fear too. But the whole point is, when you know what you're doing and you're doing it for the purest and the right reasons, that's what Spirit told me a long time ago when I agreed to do this work. Because I was like you in a lot of ways. I was hesitant. I spent 15-plus years in corporate America working for large companies and had a Southern Baptist background. So this was like something I didn't want to just go jump into. And I was very hesitant about it. And Spirit told me one simple thing. As long as you don't let your ego and money get in the place of how you're doing your work, in other words, getting greedy, you'll be able to support yourself and your family, but don't ever let your ego get in the way of what you're doing, then you'll be okay. And so I've always kept that in check, because when I do this work, I do it always for the right intentions. And when you're doing this work, whether it's healing or counseling somebody, you do it from a pure place. You do it from an intentions of, I want to help this person. I want this person to get the best that they can get out of this. And when you get that and you see it in people's lives, it gives you the most awesome feeling that you're doing something that matters. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Yep, and you can also read Christmas's book, Illuminations, A Roadless Travels, A Modern-Day Seer's Journal of the Human Experience.
Thank you, Walia, for asking that. Okay, we invite our listeners to dial in. And, Christmas, I'm not sure if I was on the air when I asked this earlier, but it came from our blog, the second part of her question.
Mm-hmm.
And she was asking, did you find that Christians question the appropriateness of turning to a psychic guide for assistance? Is that, you know, something
I
that...
heard it. I heard it from I heard it from a lot of the Christians that were coming to me, were asking me that question, because growing up I had been told that there were people who had the ability to prophesy. And that's the way my grandmother had always explained it to me, and she would quote all kinds of scriptures about who was doing what. But it became sort of a question to me when I start doing the work and people start posing it, because they had hesitancy. And I can't tell you how many people over the years have said, you know, I've been listening to you for about 3 or 4 years, and I finally just felt like I couldn't wait anymore. I wanted to call you and talk to you. Then I had one lady years ago. Her father was a therapist, a psychotherapist, and a minister. And so she was just really torn about, you know, talking to somebody like me. But she was extremely psychic. So you got all kinds of scenarios there.
Mm-hmm.
So she was really kind of conflicted. But my thing about it is, I mean, it's with anything, you got to put things in a proper perspective. For me, I knew how I was raised, and I knew what I had been told, and I had read the same books. But my personal experiences, they weren't adding up. And my nature is, if something isn't adding up, then it's my responsibility to investigate and be a seeker of knowledge and find out for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that started me on this path with this work, because a lot of the things I experienced doing this work, doing this whole thing, it changed my perspective on a lot of things that I was reared to believe.
Right, right. And that's important, to do the investigation for yourself and
yeah.
to be true to who you are, regardless of whether, you know, your religion might say this does not work or you're not supposed to do this, but you have to be really true to who you are and to your understanding.
True, very true. You have to be true with yourself. And I can tell you this, and this is just my personal belief, you know, I know that as human beings, we're here on a bigger purpose, just, you know, than being on this planet and just, you know, day-to-day jobs and all of this stuff. It's a bigger picture to this. It's all about evolution, spiritual evolution, and really understanding where we come from and operating under a condition and a learning process in this environment. And so what we are first is instinctually connected to source. We're connected to God first. Everything else, your political affiliation, a lot of times your religion, everything else, you're born into and you're taught. What you are first is instinctually always, always connected to source. And that has always been there first, which I find it kind of odd, because we all tend to cringe and think, oh, this is so weird. But it's natural. It was there first. And so when you begin to understand who you really are and what you're connected to and all of the connectedness of everything, then you start really getting a different perspective on your world.
Yeah, it was there first, and it'll be there last.
Absolutely.
Christmas, could you tell us a little bit about what you've got going on, if you have events coming up that our listeners can participate in?
Oh, yeah. I have several things going on. This first weekend of the month, for those who would like to have a session with me, and it is a very affordable opportunity for you, the first weekend of the month of March, which is the 5th and 6th, Saturday and Sunday, I will be at the Blue Barn in Roswell. And I'm there all day long, and you can come out and have a session with me for $15, folks. Can't beat that. If you'd like to have a question answered or something that's been pressing and you'd rather do it in person, that's an opportunity. I do offer a new service. It's a what I call the Numa Lux Salons, and this is an intimate gathering where there's different subjects and topics. And this particular Numa Lux Salon that I'm doing May 21st, you have to register for that, and it's on my website, christmasmiller.com. It is a three-hour intensive salon topic centered around relationships, karma or cryptic relationships. So if you're wanting to know why you keep attracting the same types of people, what it is in your specific life lesson that you're learning and repeating and where you need to kind of tweak that, this is the salon for you. It's an intimate gathering. It includes a light snack, and it will be a gallery-style reading for all of the participants. So you'll get to have not only personal issues addressed, questions addressed, we will definitely jump into some of the relationship issues. So that's coming up May 21st, and that is a Saturday from 10 to 1 in Alpharetta. And those are the most immediate things that I have coming up. But you can always go to my website and check out my book and my meditation CD if you're interested in either of those.
And your website address?
It is Christmas Miller, like the holiday, ChristmasMiller.com.
Can you give us a little insight as to what's in your book and how you came about actually putting your book together?
Well, yes, absolutely. The book is very short and sweet. I'm going to tell you, this was not intended to be the first book. The first book I'm working on now, which is Relationships, and I hope to have that done and finished later in the year. But the book Illuminations of Road Less Traveled came about because I was guided by Spirit to do something short and sweet, something people could read quick because folks have busy lives and they want to just cut to the chase to certain issues. And what I've noticed in my readings for the last decade is that there are typical things no matter where people are, whether they're across the pond over there in Europe, and I got clients all over the country, no matter where they are, there are certain things that we all tend to struggle with. We all know relationships is one of them. I don't care whether you can't speak our language or not. I'm going to tell you, somebody's having a relationship issue that is identical to something you've probably experienced. And then there's, of course, the financial and all of the issues about, you know, vampires, psychic vampires. And I hate to use that term, but I call them energy stealers. And, you know, I talk about all of those things that we all tend to have found in common as human beings in this book. And so each chapter is actually a book in and of itself, which I'll later expand on. And so it talks about these things. Like, for example, one of the chapters is Warning Signs, the Many Faces of Self-Destruction. Oftentimes we don't want to acknowledge that we made that decision 10 years ago and we're living with it right now. For example, there's no psychic prophecy about that. It's just that we need to be more responsible for what we're doing. And so as a psychic, yeah, I can read the energy of where it's going, but I feel like it's my responsibility to say, hey, you might need to change directions because you set this in motion 3 years ago and you're dealing with this now. So unless you want to repeat that again, which you don't have to, because I believe if I'm being shown it, it's an opportunity for somebody to do something about it. I don't get everything now. Let me just be clear. I don't get everything and tell everybody everything. The things that I'm being shown is an opportunity for people to adjust things. So, you know, I usually put the responsibility back where it belongs, which is in your hands. Mm-hmm. And so that's the whole point of it. So you can be empowered and make your decisions for yourself.
So I know you also do readings over the phone, which people can sign up for on your website. And you have another offer, which is an email reading. Now, how would you do that? How do you pick up that energy via email for someone who you've never communicated with?
Oh, wow. It's really, it's all the same, really. There's no difference between me reading someone over the air, like I'd love to take a question if we have time, specifically for the reading. It's no different than that, than doing it at a fair or a private event or over the phone. The thing about the way I read energy, which is why I term myself an energy reader, is I see what's in the energy, and energy is not limited to time and space. And so when it comes to reading what's going on with a person, I can see the aspects of where they've come from, where they are now, where they're going, that sort of thing. And so my job is to interpret all of that and give them the information accordingly. In an email, it's the same thing, except I'm writing it down and I'm sending it to you. And I got to quickly say, ladies, that when I started doing this work years ago, I started out doing readings online. I've worked on 800 numbers. I've done all of this stuff. So the environment is different and the energy is different. It's crazy out there on the internet because you got so many different people and different energies. And I've been sort of groomed in those environments, chat rooms, large areas, radio and all of that. But the thing is, you got to lock in on that person's frequency, which can be challenging when you got like 500 people in a room. But you got to lock into what's going on. And usually what I get help with is a person's guides or angelic presence come in, and I use that term angelic because that's what I'm familiar with and that's how they present themselves to me. Mm-hmm. And so that helps me with the information that I'm interpreting.
Okay. If we call her with their hand up and hopefully they're taking you up on your offer for a reading. Caller number two, your last four digits of your number are 4402.
You. Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
There. My name is I'm sorry.
You're on air.
Oh, hi. My name is Sharita. I was calling Christmas. I've been listening to the broadcast this evening, and I wanted to ask you a question about a new business venture that I've been told about, and I wanted to know if it would be lucrative for me or if I should stick with the skills that I have and kind of stick to my 9-to-5.
Well, there's a two-part question and answer to that. The first is you're going to have more than one opportunity. So, in other words, your guides are showing me that you are going to likely end up a self-made, self-employed entrepreneur who has her hands in more than one thing. You are coming across as being a little bored and no passion in your work, your 9-to-5. And don't get me wrong, because we all start somewhere. But my whole thing is your energy and your ambition is so strong, I doubt very seriously if it will be contained in that limited environment you're in. And when I say limited, I feel like it's a glass ceiling, literally, like you can't go too high up in what your particular job duties is. Is that pretty much the case?
Well, yeah, not unless I go back to school. I'm a medical assistant now, so I will have to, you know, go back to school to be an RN in order to break through the glass ceiling.
Yeah,
but as
yeah.
of now, I'm kind of just stuck.
And I don't even see you having an interest in going back to school for that.
I kind of have lost interest. I'm more leaning towards an esthetician, which would, you know, provide me being able to work for myself, working on my own schedule, and, you know, building up a clientele and just working for myself. So that's what I'm leaning more towards now. I've kind of lost the drive for nursing.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you that's where you're going to end up, and I think it's a great place to start. One of the things you got to learn now is you use your discernment because you're too trusting of people, and it's not that you shouldn't trust people. You should trust the right ones, but you should learn to listen to your instincts. You need to be more thorough with your checking out stuff and researching things. I'm feeling that when people tell you something, like if I've known you for 10 years and I'll say, Sharita, I know somebody over here who you can work with, and you trust me, you'll just do it. But instead, even if you trust me, you still should do your own research and check things out, and Spirit is indicating that you don't do enough of that, and so you want to be careful when you're talking about business ventures. There's a man that's coming up around you that is going to offer you an opportunity, and it's not a bad thing. It's just that, you know, you want to look at the long-term ramifications of any kind of dealings you do with anyone right now. You're not quite ready to jump into anything, but I can tell you within a year and a half, you'll be more than ready. You'll have resources available for you, so now's the time to really kind of ground yourself, be more specific, and set a plan in motion. You're going to end up doing more than one thing, but do one thing at a time and be well and good at that, and then you can expand yourself. You are a service-themed person, which means that you are here to help others. You are at your best when you are in a service-related job. Products and services will always be an excellent type of occupation for you. You'll thrive well at that. You don't do well with saving your money. You like to spend. You're an emotional spender. And I only bring that up because if you're trying to run a business, you can't do that.
True, very true.
So, you know, in that respect, you're definitely on the right track. You're likely going to move too. So I would wait until you get settled. Are you thinking about moving?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, are you thinking about moving between now and June?
Yes.
And you probably will, and it's probably the best. But wait until you get a little settled before you actually jump into a commitment and sign your name to anything, if you can try to resist doing that because you're too anxious right now. Just kind of pull back a little bit.
Thank you so much, Christmas. I
You're welcome.
It.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sharita.
Thanks, Aunt Deborah.
Okay, go ahead, Ryan.
Go ahead.
We have another caller. The last four digits of your number is 1529. Caller 1529.
Yes. Hi, caller.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, please.
Hi. I wanted to know, is my new job going to work out?
No, I'm sorry to tell you. Let me tell you what I mean by that, and this is what I would like you to do. I want you to be very conscious of how you're doing your work. I feel like you're going to have some problems with a female, and you may in the long end of it decide that this isn't the place for you and leave. I just get nitpicky writing, lack of organization and details in the environment in and of itself. It's almost like you're taking on a job that is a mess and you're going to be expected to clean it up. And at the same time, I feel like the person you may report to or deal with primarily is a female, and she may ride you a lot. So I don't know if you're at that point yet. I just see you kind of bouncing a couple of times before you're settled in work that you truly feel appreciated, they're paying you good money, and that you actually like versus just having a job to pay the bills.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have another caller, 5106.
We've got the call jumping now, Christmas.
5106,
okay.
And I think this is going to be our last one as we start to wind down.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, welcome.
I was calling to find out if I will be moving anytime soon.
I get yes, and I get delays around it. So, yes, you will be, and the time frame is I get definitely a 1. Now, this is how the numbers can work for me, and this is what I was explaining. Everybody's different. Usually when I see numbers like that and the feeling is sooner versus later, it could be within a month. And I definitely see at the most it could be a year, but I get delays. So even if you're supposed to be moving or you're planning on moving or you're waiting to get the green light, there may be a little bit of a delay or snag behind it, and it comes up under financial reasons.
That makes sense.
So outside of that, you will move. Let me tell you something about delays, too, and that's for all the listeners out there. Let me tell y'all, when you get delays, don't always think of it as a bad thing. Sometimes that's the universe's way of saying, look, you want to make sure you know what you're doing. Sometimes the wrong people are involved. Sometimes it's a business deal that other people don't change their minds about and they ain't told you about it. Sometimes there are situations going on that is not working for your highest and your best. So don't look at a delay as always a negative thing. Okay.
Okay. And Christmas, we have from the chat room, how is your process different from that of a therapist or someone going through a 12-step program? I guess they want to know the difference between seeing a psychic or going to a therapist. And I know you have that on your website, but this is a question. If you could answer that one quickly for us before we wind down.
I'm not a licensed therapist, nor have I taken therapy courses or certifications. So I am not a therapist in that respect. I refer people out to the experts in that regard. But a lot of the things that I talk about and the way in which I deliver it can be considered somewhat of a spiritual therapy, but I am not a licensed therapist, no.
And another point that you made on your site was people should not become over-dependent on your abilities. They have to still understand that it's their life and that they're living it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because sometimes people, you know, they're going to be afraid or fearful, and it's hard when you're going through something that is difficult or you don't have anybody to talk to, et cetera. And so being codependent is not a healthy thing, period. So I don't encourage it because, again, my whole idea of my work is to help others help themselves, and that would just totally defeat that purpose.
Mm-hmm. So we are winding down for the evening. Christmas, we want to thank you for joining, and if you have any final parting words for us, to share with our audience. Would you
absolutely. One of my favorite ladies on this planet, I love her to death, to life, is Maya Angelou. And one of the things that I just love in her sayings, and I've learned this because I've walked this, and I truly, I'm like everybody else, I walk in the same direction, and I'm learning too. I'm not no guru, but I am able to offer something of value, and I try to utilize that in that way. And what I've learned by Maya's statement is that it is true, and that is when you know better, you do better. And that's the whole purpose of what I do, helping others to know better so they can become and do better.
Sky, any parting remarks for you?
Yes, I have a closing quote. Intuition comes very close to clairvoyance. It appears to be the extrasensory perception of reality. And that's by Alex Carrell.
I like that.
And I have one from Meditations on Faith and Prayer. It's on looking beyond what you see. Be willing for an instant to leave your altars free of what you placed upon them, and what is really there you cannot fail to see.
I like that one too.
Great.
Great statement.
One more time, give us your contact information.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Website is christmasmiller.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook also, christmasmiller.com. And my phone number is 404-966-8557. I'll be out at the Blue Barn on the 5th and 6th of March, and you can come out and see me there.
Okay, and you've been listening to this Internet Radio, and in the last moment we want to tell you about the symposium that we have coming up on May 1st. We're going to have four current history master healers there around nutrition, coach. What else, Guy?
Financial. We're going to cover healing, health and healing, finances. We're going to have a personal coach there, and we're going to talk about nutrition. So you will really want to be there. It's going to be a self-empowerment afternoon to help us transcend self-limitations.
Vendors are welcome as well.
Yes, and it's going to be at the Solarium in Decatur, Georgia. Visit our website, www.sisters-in-spirit.net, to get more information about this symposium. We're very excited about it. And we'd like to thank you again, Christmas, for sharing your gifts with us this evening and helping us understand how to stay grounded. And we still had a lot of hands up and questions in the chat room, so we would like to invite you to come and be with us again sometime in the future. And
we invite
everyone to go to your website so that they can contact you and talk to you further.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You've been listening to This Internet Radio. Until the next time, enjoy the fluid flow of life by remembering to infuse harmony in